This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you. Well, hi, everyone. I have to say that I am happy to be here as usual. I'm actually super excited tonight because we've got some people here that I haven't seen in a little while. That's always fun, you know? I mean, I like all you other guys who show up, all the time. But I have to admit, you do get a little bit bored with you. But, in a good way and in a friendly way. But, hey, thanks for joining us. Every Wednesday evening at 5:30 my time, we do this or we'll just get together and talk about shower doors. And my friends think it's kind of weird. I don't care. I think it's pretty cool that a whole bunch of people like this would get together, meet up here in cyberspace on a Wednesday evening to talk about shower doors. That's pretty awesome. So thanks for joining us. If you're watching from the Facebook page, you can always just click on the link there that I put in the description, and it will reroute you over here into the Zoom call, and you can join us, get in here, and let's chat about shower doors, shall we? Awesome. Okay, so I was just thinking about what should we talk about tonight. I was thinking about doing new things. There's always new stuff going on. The vendors that we use are always trying to come up with new ideas for new products. So there's things out there that I haven't tried out yet. So I'm wondering if you guys are doing anything new. It could be a new product, or it might just be a new method of installing. Maybe it's a new sales technique. Something out of the ordinary. Anybody got something that they're just trying out and wants to tell us what it's like to be the guinea pig?
Well, what are you looking for? Tools?
Trucks, sure, tools.
Racks? Tools, yeah. Trucks, racks? Anything
yeah.
Like that?
I like that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Or even a sales technique or a new kind of ad, a new sort of, anything. Or are you someone who just hates anything new and you haven't done anything new in 30 years? I want to hear from you too, the crusty old guys who are that's the way we do it and we like it.
We have a meeting with a supplier on Friday out of New York for a certain type of base shoe that they supply, that they have these threaded pegs that go in before waterproofing, and then they screw down and everything is waterproofed over them. And then all you do is set the base shoe on it and then Allen key or Allen bolt your base shoe back down, and it's all waterproofed and everything, so you don't have any penetrations through the waterproofing. It's called NIL. So we have a meeting with them because there are some builders out there that are using them already. So they're trying to, they want us to test their product for them.
Have they got NOAs already?
Yeah. So
were they at the Glass Show? Because I didn't see them anywhere.
I didn't see them I wasn't at the Atlanta Glass Show, so I don't know if they were there or not. I met them at a build show in New York City last year.
Nice.
So we'll see how it goes. It's just more labor, a little more labor to go out there and set everything and then pull the base shoe up after you set it and then go back and set it again after waterproofing and everything is done. But it saves a little labor if you have to drill through tile, the risk of breaking a tile when you're drilling through it for base shoe, all that
Yep.
stuff. You don't have to worry about waterproofing or anything in the future. So
That's smart.
could be something.
What do they use to anchor the glass in the base shoe?
They have a similar to a taper lock system or whatever FHC's, I don't know what FHC system's called, but it's just like the taper lock,
Yeah.
but their system.
You have to buy everything from them?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, everything except the glass, of course.
Yeah. And then they'll make like, we use a lot of glass vise for a lot of railings. So they'll make custom plates for glass vise that can go in before waterproofing too, if we wanted to do that, go that route. So.
Are they in the States or are they overseas?
They're in New York. They're based out of New York. I think a lot of their stuff is manufactured locally.
Oh,
So
really?
I'll have more information Friday if I can make the call on Friday. So I'm gonna try to make the call, but a couple other people are gonna be on the call.
Nice.
Know,
That's
back to base shoe, I had a demonstration from Silka. It's called Silka Force. And you mix it up and pour it in the shoe. And that's really, it was nice and simple and self-leveling, and you're done.
So you're talking about like the makers of Seca Flex?
Yeah,
That.
it's called Silka Force.
Okay.
Silka Flex makes it.
All right.
And you get it in
Interesting.
gallon cans and you mix a hard like activator with it, and you just pour it in and it self-levels and sets up and you're done. You just caulk across the top and it was simple.
Interesting.
Awesome.
No big pump or anything. You can get in 5 gallon cans or, and it was really nice.
Has anyone seen the shower doors that are self-drying? It almost operates like a pocket door, and when it goes into the pocket, there's blowers like in a glass washing machine. It has a blower in it. So
No.
We've installed a couple of those. Yeah.
Really?
The company we're working with, it's called Airmada, and they have a location. So the niece lives here in Oregon. Her uncle who invented it, I can't remember what state he's in, kind of more towards the East Coast. And they have two different products. One product is it might as well just be an air compressor, and it's got little nozzles, and the contractor installs the nozzles wherever they want it, on the floor, on the walls, benches. That first that doesn't have anything to do with the glass. But then there's another product where it's just like Bill's saying, it's got these jets on either side, and then the door goes in and out of it. So when you turn it on and the door goes in, it dries off all the water and it comes out. They have built it so that the glass slides onto an Alumax slider rail, basically. So as long as you get we've done two of them so far, and we worked really closely. Of course, it was brand new to us, and the contractor. So we worked really closely with the contractor to get it all, installed plumb and level and where we wanted it. Because they screw up installing that. It's really kind of the contractor installing the Alumax stuff. But we got involved with it and worked out pretty easy, actually.
You have
Alumax
the
header.
link to that, and will it only work with the Alumax, or can we modify something to make it work?
It's probably possible to modify it. The company itself, Armada, that's just what they kind of spec to do. They actually send the Alumax stuff as part of the kit to the contractor who's buying it. And then they end up saying, find your own glass shop. Here's the specs for how you want to build it. But they're pretty open to, I mean, they're small and they're just getting their bearings, so I'm sure they would be very open if you could get in ahead of time before the contractor has already bought it from them.
Does it go in like a pocket door, so it's in an enclosed area where you don't see all the blower mechanisms?
Exactly. Yep.
So the tile guy then has to tile the inside wall, and then there must be drainage, so when they blow the water off, must be open on the bottom for the drain back, correct?
A lot of the water, the idea is that the air is on it before it goes inside. So the idea is to keep the water from going inside. So it's not like that's, of course, you'll still get water in there. The whole thing has to be waterproofed, but it's supposed to be minimal water inside of the actual pocket wall.
Max just put the link. Thank you, Max. Just put the
Oh, cool. I
link
hadn't
in the
gotten there
chat
yet.
there.
Yeah, I think it's just in your chat, Bill. I haven't figured out. I'm terrible at Zoom. I gotta figure out how to put it to the rest.
Oh, there's a drop down there, and you could say to all.
To everyone.
Yeah. So right in that same, go to the chat, and then who do you want to send it to? There's a little drop down arrow, and you can say to everyone.
It's done. There it is.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Max. You're the man.
Awesome.
Max
You
in
beat.
the
It's impressive that you beat Robert to the punch. That's
house.
very
Right?
impressive. Very impressive.
Oh,
I'm not very good at this Zoom thing.
That's interesting. So here,
Awesome.
I see what they have. Okay. It's not the way I envisioned it.
It's not too bad. It's pretty simple. I mean, it seems weird when you think about it, but the way it comes together, especially for us, it's pretty simple. As long as they're not gonna install it all wonky and expect us to put glass in, which would never happen, right? So
Not
yeah.
in real life.
No,
No.
no.
Cool. So look at that. That's a couple of brand new things right there.
Good stuff.
What else?
Are you guys using inverters on your truck so you can run your chop saws enough off your truck if you're on new construction sites?
We used to, but we switched to battery operated chop saws.
All battery operated ones. Yeah. Milwaukee makes a really good one.
That's what we use. We just use the 7 1/4 compound miter ones for shower door stuff. And then obviously base shoe or anything, we run 12-inch corded one.
Some of the job sites we have, some of the tools they need are more than just battery operated, and they've got lights, some fans that when you get into the real heat. So the guys try and run as much battery as possible, but the inverter, if your truck is reasonably close, is good. But Milwaukee makes this real power pack thing that you can bring in. It's almost like a little generator, and you can keep charging all your batteries off of that. It's really cool. The guys started using that, and they love it.
Yeah, they make some nice stuff. They're like in that innovation stage right now.
See, Max, what we need to do this for the shower door professionals, and we've been talking about putting together either a co-op or some type of a group where we can recommend each other in these different cities. But something would be cool to get somebody like Milwaukee to take a sponsorship in us. And if we all use Milwaukee tools and we could put their logo on our shirts or on our trucks that were powered by Milwaukee, they just need to supply us tools. It's almost like race cars, right?
Right.
I don't know
Yeah,
about that one.
comes with the co-op though. That's the sort of stuff that as you guys, pull this all together, you'll be able to do that for sure. I mean, that'll be a lot of power. I mean, there'll be brands that will want to do that with you for sure.
Yeah. How about
Yes.
DeWalt?
What's
DeWalt.
that, Adrian? DeWalt?
I'm a DeWalt guy, man.
Yeah, DeWalt's like yesterday, man.
DeWalt's like
I
having
used to be DeWalt too, back when I was a kid.
Yeah,
Whatever.
DeWalt's gone like Steve's mustache.
Not, yeah. Actually, I had all DeWalt stuff, and then I got together with these GCS guys, and they're all like, ah, oh, no, just Milwaukee stuff, you know. I'm like, ah, oh, whatever, you know. So I checked out. It's like, it's actually pretty awesome, man. They've got great tools. And I mean, I used to wear out those DeWalts. They were like, it was a good tool, but they're not as durable as Milwaukee. I mean, having used both of them, I can definitely tell the difference.
How many guys are driving trucks that are battery operated, like EVs?
We have a van.
You have one, right? Are you happy with it?
I wish the mileage was a little bit more, but we make it work. We just have to be careful. If that guy has something that's out of the way, we'll end up, he'll swap trucks with someone for the day. But for the most part, it works fine and it makes a lot of money, saves a lot in gas. So,
I just
you know.
Boy, reading the articles of how many of the automobile companies are laying off people in the EV industry is scary. And even Tesla's taking a little bit of a tank right now.
Yeah,
Oh,
Ford like is stopping a lot of
yep.
production on it because they've taken quarter after quarter losses. So,
Yep.
yeah.
The only reason they're going is the government pours money back to them to keep them going.
Yeah, I mean, when I bought the van, we had a $6,500 tax credit for the van. So,
And we got a girl at work that drives a Tesla, and then she found out that the battery life's only 100,000 miles on it. So she had to get rid of it when it's around 60,000 to get any kind of value back for the thing. That's kind of scary when you think about it. Spend that kind of money for a vehicle and at 100,000 a battery shot, and then it costs a lot to get replacement batteries. A lot.
More than the car is worth, actually.
Yeah, the whole reason I thought of it is you were talking about your DeWalt with the batteries and the difference with Milwaukee's and how much stronger and longer they last. But started thinking about it with all these vehicles.
They're disposable. Anyone using any of the Ford Mavericks for like measure vehicles or sales vehicles yet?
No, not Ford's. We're using Chevy Equinoxes.
So those Ford Mavericks are cool because they have the hybrid one. You get like 43 miles a gallon in them. And it's a little pickup truck.
Brandon, I really love that truck. And I really wanted our whole fleet to be on those trucks, but it's only a 5 foot truck bed, but it'd be great for sales.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to put a glass rack on the new Tesla Cybertruck and have a fleet of those to catch a lot of eyeballs.
Put a sliding rack in the back. I don't know if it'll fit. Or lay it down. We
Wouldn't have
have
to worry
a
about the guys scratching them or dinging them or anything. They just would be good.
No, you got to worry about scratching your glass, not the trucks. The Amazon warehouse right next to it brought in these Rivians.
They're down the warehouse down the street from me. We see them all the time.
Yeah, they're nice. I'm just interested to see how long they're going to last.
Yeah, they're
And
huge.
yeah, they are. I mean, that would be a great work truck, really.
And they
I
look like a
mean,
smiley face. They have like big, the headlights are like big eyeballs if you look at them.
they look like that one station wagon from that one movie, Vacation. Have you ever watched that where they rent that van and it's all in Japanese and it breaks down and doesn't work?
The family truckster. Yeah.
It looks like that.
It's funny, Brandon. I assume your van doesn't have a rack on it, right? It's just a regular electric van, correct? Or did you outfit it with a rack?
When I bought it, my glass rack didn't have a rack for it yet.
Right.
Now they do have one, and I haven't put it on there yet. But the thing about the electric vehicles is the payload is. If you still get the same battery life, whether it's fully loaded the payload or not loaded the payload, the way the electric works.
Right. And it's funny, I was going to bring that up because when I had Amber from my glass rack on my podcast, we talked about the outfitting the electric vehicles now because it's different for them. So they were just wrapping that up. So yeah, you're right ahead of that, but it's a different world for them versus regular combustion engines.
Yeah, because like we put windshield racks in all of our vans, so we bolt through. But with the electric one, we bought it and like, oh crap, we can't screw down because the battery's there. So then we had to find a roundabout to get through where the battery wasn't and anchor the rack and all that stuff. So
even that's exactly what she said. The batteries are right underneath where you would normally be drilling. Yes.
Yeah. Even like the companies that do like the build outs for them, the racking and all that inside, they didn't have anything at the time because they had to revamp stuff for them.
But you said, I was surprised that the additional weight doesn't make a difference, because I know that weight becomes an issue, you know, because it does, you know, they're already very heavy to begin with. The vehicles are heavier than normal.
It's a 3,500 because of the weight. But we haven't had an issue with, it's been fully loaded. It's the same pretty much when it's not fully loaded. We get about 120 miles of charge.
Is that in Arizona or like in a colder climate? Because I know the colder climates, it suffers.
It's in Arizona.
Yeah.
So good to know. Cool.
That is cool.
You just got to make sure you
plug it in. So if you were to buy,
No, that's all right.
If you were to buy something now, what would you buy?
I would still go with the Transit, the gas Transit. That's been the best install vehicle that I've ever purchased. And I do not like the Ram ProMasters. We've had a few of them. The bodies bend and everything, and they just don't last. There's too many issues. And then we got a couple trucks because we do a lot of bigger glass sometimes, and the vans can't handle some of the stuff we do. So, but I'd still go with the van just because you can lock up all your tools. It's clean. It looks good. You don't have to worry about guys driving down the road with trash flying out of their truck everywhere, all that. So.
Yeah, that van, we just got one in December, and it's been great, especially, you know, in the rain, because everything just is, we just have the same thing, the little slip racks on the inside, and it's worked out great.
Yeah, and if you wrap it, it's a rolling billboard. So
has anyone found a good awning to attach there so that you can set up your chop saw and cut in the rain right off the side of the van? I looked at a couple of camper places to see what they sell. Most of them come with the automated ones, you know, so you can't drive around with it extended. But we're trying to find something that can retrofit onto those Transits. Mm-hmm. Go right up under the drip cap and then come out, maybe a couple of fold down legs or something to keep it stabilized.
Yeah, like one of those rollout things, like they put on motorhomes or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
That's good.
Yeah, I thought they had them for the rear. I've seen them online. I didn't try and outfit our guys with it, but I've seen them in the past.
If you come across one, you see it in use, take a picture of it, could you? And then share it on the thing.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd be interested. As we get close to rainy season, that's always a challenge. We're doing high rises. Those people, they don't want you going in their garage, and they don't want you going in the lobby. They don't want you cutting anywhere. I don't know how they, you know, and you can't pre-cut it at the shop. I guess you could, but would much rather cut it at the job site.
Sometimes you can.
Sometimes you can. Sometimes you have to. Yeah.
Well, a Transit fit in a high rise. High rises, I should say, because some of them they probably don't.
Yeah, most of you can, if you get the extra tall one, no. Mm-hmm. But the regular ones, like the 150 and the 250s, as long as you don't get the extended height cab, it'll fit. Mm-hmm. Now, the extended height ones are really nice because you can stand up and work in the back of that truck. They're really nice. But yeah, then there's challenges. You got the overhead awnings, the drive-through windows that the guys go to McDonald's and clip the top. Mm-hmm. You gotta watch all that stuff. Well, that's interesting. What else you got, Chris?
Yeah,
that was actually good.
I got nothing. You guys are bringing it. Some good stuff so far.
No one doesn't use a good old glass truck with the rack. And am I the only one that's stuck in the old school era or what?
The old days, the Stone Ages.
I love my
DeWalt tools. And
I don't know if I can do a van.
What do you got? A pickup with an A-frame on the back?
Yeah, I have one that has a glass rack. Glass rack on the sides and extender rack on top of my metal. And
that works.
And so you're all the way in the Stone Ages.
And my tubes on the side with all my seals and everything. Works good.
We still have one of those. We still have a Chevy 2500 with a Welgo chassis mounted rack with a goal post so we can carry base shoe and all that stuff.
Yep. I have one of those for that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did for a long time. I'm like a F-150 or whatever, F-250, and the rack on the side. It's great, you know? But, you know, it's just having stuff, being able to put all of your stuff inside out of the weather is awesome. You know, the glass stays cleaner. It's like it's harder for people to come along and steal your stuff. It's a lot less wear and tear, you know, jumping in and out of the back of the, I'd always like jump in the back of the truck and hit my head on the bar across the thing, you know, it's like, no matter how many times I hit my head, I guess I hit my head one too many times. Cause then after that, I could never remember to duck.
Max, that's a perfect one.
Yeah, it looks like they're doing it in the UK, so it's got to be a way to do it here, too.
Yeah, I like that.
Food for thought.
I like that a lot. Thank you.
Leave it to Max to have his finger on the pulse. What's going on, man? He's the news guy.
I'm just curious. That's why I'm here tonight. Just curious. Curious. That's all. Learning.
That's really good. Thank you.
That's cool.
Autoblades, very good stuff. Trying to think what other tools or things. I meant to take a picture of one. The guys use these yellow donuts to wrap up their extension cords, and I haven't even seen it in use. But Rod, my guy in the shop, he brought in like 20 of these things. I said, "What are they?" So, oh my God, the guys love these things. So it's like a wheel hub. Looks like a donut, but it's large. I sell them at Home Depot, and you put your extension cord in there, and it keeps it protected, and it's easy to wrap up and easy to store in the truck. Now, that's if you need to use extension cords. Again, a lot of guys have gone to batteries, but some guys need to plug in their battery chargers for their spare batteries. But anyhow, a simple little product, but they say it swears by it. So I'll do a video at some point and put it out on the page.
Yeah, actually, I heard about that, I think, from somebody in the group. It's called a Cord Pro. And they have it at, they've got it at Home Depot.
Yeah.
Not at the store. You have to go online to Home Depot. Or you can get it on Amazon.
The center of it, I believe, acts as like multi outlets as well. I think there's a pigtail on one side. On the other side, there's like four plugs, so it acts as an additional outlets as well, like a splitter.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Let's see. I think
I can see up there. I got Max, Chris, and maybe Robert all trying to beat the next guy.
Yeah.
Look at it. There you go. You got it, Chris.
Yeah. Bam. Win. Cord Pro. I got one. So it's cool. I don't really use it in the field, but I use it around the shop. So I've got like all my cords are like 50 foot long for some reason. So,
and this holds up to 100 footer of 16.3. So I don't know if you guys use 14 or 12.3. But even at 12.3, which is really heavy, you can go 50 feet.
Yeah. I think that's what I've got.
That picture didn't show the splitter Keith was talking about.
No, this one doesn't have it.
I think it's a different one, Roger. I didn't know that's what it was. I misspoke.
No, I think it's a different brand. Like there's this other one. Let me see. There's another one. It's more fancy. It's got like a reel on it that you can like reel it up. I think it's got the outlets and stuff like Keith was talking about. Pretty cool. That's a little more.
I got one of those at Northern Tools. It was pretty cheap, one of their sale items that you roll up and has the plugs. I also have a couple Cord Pros. You still have to wind up the Cord Pro and everything, but it unwinds nicely. It protects, it keeps your wire from getting all dirty and nasty because it's all wrapped up.
It keeps it from knotting up too, right?
Yeah, right. Guess so.
I think that's what they like the most. Doesn't get knotted up and twisted.
Well, I can't really speak because I don't use it all the time. I have it out in my workshop at home, and I don't use it professionally at work. So mm-hmm. I'm not really sure how it works like on a daily basis.
Sure.
I saw it at like one of the home shows, probably back when they were introduced. Some guy out of Kansas City, I think, had those and probably has since sold the business. But I don't know.
Yeah, the really cool thing about it is that if you've got a 50-foot cord and you only need 10 feet of it most of the time, you know, you don't have to unwrap the whole cord and wrap it back up every time.
Yeah.
You know, they always get tangled up and stuff unless you're really good at wrapping cords.
Yeah.
And unwrapping them. But yeah, that's a cool thing about that. I like Brad saying keeps it from getting all dirty and stuff, you know, driving through mud.
For sure.
Very good. You know, I've got one of the first things I learned when I was an apprentice was like how to wrap up a cord is pretty funny. I mean, there's so many things that like I did not know. I thought I knew until I like became an apprentice. It's like, oh yeah, I don't know. And you don't know how to hold a screw gun. You don't know how to use a screwdriver. You don't know how to use a file. It's like, hey, yeah, did you know that a file really only cuts in one direction? You know, you don't go back and forth. It's like, I didn't know that. You know, I didn't know that you're supposed to just file in one direction. And that one thing was with an extension cord, you know, if you wrap it like a hose, I've got the extension cords I have now, I bought like 15 years ago. And, I'll never have to buy another extension cord. It's like, just wrap it up right. It's crazy.
Back when you bought them, did they have that third little prong called the ground?
Yeah, remember those? I think mine still have that little thing. I haven't cut it off yet. I've been tempted to.
Well, if you go to some of the old Carmel houses, you have to have, they don't have grounds.
No.
Yeah, you have to use that little cube, right, with just the two?
A little adapter where you get out the wire cutters and cut it off.
Yeah.
That's a Carmel plug. Carmel cord.
That's funny.
What do they call that electric, like knob and?
Knob and tube.
Man, that's going back.
Saw that on Property Brothers. Mostly Canada's like that.
One of my houses in town had that knob and tube. That's how old it is.
Yeah, you're living on the edge. You're living in a house with that, you know.
Oh, I took it all out. It's all gone.
Right?
Did any of you see our little blurb on Rock the Block on HGTV? They set us up bad. We got about a second and a half exposure on this thing. It was crazy. You know, coordinated for 3 days to go get the doors done, and they canceled every time and changed the schedule all around. The whole amount of camera time we got was about a second and a half, maybe 2 seconds at best. Oh, it was crazy. I said, okay, never again.
Did they blur out your guys' shirts, or did they at least?
No, they actually showed that.
Okay.
They actually showed that in a quick glimpse of the product, but there's such a money-making thing on that. You know, they get all the subs to chip in and pay for all the talent that they have.
Yep. They get
donations. And some of them, like designing spaces, you can get some good airtime. Basically, that's a 5 or 6 or 7 minute commercial. Yeah. But, you know, some of the other stuff, my God.
No, HGTV has become just a monster and a machine, and they could get whatever they want, and they don't really care because if you turn it down, they'll go to somebody else.
Yeah.
They take advantage of that vanity aspect, and anybody that turns, oh my God, I'm going to be on national TV, but you couldn't even make out the name on any of our shirts, and we know what we were looking for. Like, what a rub that is to get people. They're really trying to take advantage of you on that. That's the sad thing.
That is sad.
I think that's where you gotta do something crazy when you're on a camera. Just something that's just so outlandish that they have to play it so you can get the airtime.
Yeah, we needed you there.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's what I was just thinking.
Yeah.
Did they ask for like a donation, like you're providing glass for cheap or free or discount?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a negotiation, of course, right? So we went back and forth. They actually paid for the glass, but they were supposed to give us more exposure than that, but it wasn't in writing. You know, all they're saying is they'll give you brand recognition, I guess, if you're a speed reader.
If you blinked, you missed it.
Yeah, or if you can pause it at the right spot, you can have all the airtime you want. But that was sad.
The biggest thing is using the allure of we're going to be on HGTV as the promotion. Like, that's the biggest takeaway, because you can now use their name in your advertising.
Yeah.
So, like, and, as seen on or whatever.
Yeah, and they gave us the backlink, which is huge, to be able to get the SEO benefit out of that, because that's a huge backlink.
We did that a few years ago with a show in Orlando that is called Zombie House Flipping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we were there for a few seasons, but in my opinion, it was a waste of money. I think it cost us about like $50,000 worth of material, and I don't think we really saw any return on that.
I think he went to you after he talked to me, and we backed out of it. I swear to God, I remember that whole thing dealing with that guy.
Yeah, so I mean, it was the show is still, I think, still on. I think the last season was last year, but yeah, it was a cool experience, but nothing that I would do again.
Right, exactly. You did it once, you tried it. We all do that, right? It's how you learn. Mm-hmm. Good thing about this group is we can tell other guys not to fall into the trap. We already took the bait, we already paid it, we paid our dues. We're helping you guys out.
Exactly.
We were on the show a long, long time ago. I can't remember what it was called, but it always involved the sick kid, and they were building the house for the family to move into because the kid was sick.
And it's Home Makeover,
Extreme Home Makeover. Yeah. And the contractor that donated their time to this sent a letter to all of their subs and said, if you want to continue to be our sub, you're going to donate your time and labor and product to this too. Oh, thanks for the opportunity. Mike's going, I still have the t-shirt. Yeah. Yeah, but we had to get all our own bragging rights. Yeah, and it's probably been about 8 years ago now. We took it off our website yesterday. You know, we got what we could out of it. Yeah.
Well, the funny part on this Rock the Block, Ty, that was the main character in Extreme Home Makeover, is their star for this show.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah.
So he's back.
Same guy. Yep.
Yeah, he's looking a little rough nowadays.
Yeah, you think?
I saw him at IBS in Vegas. He was there.
That's what contracting does to you, man.
Right? Yeah, Christy, you were going to jump in with something. What were you going to say? Because I jumped on top of you. What were you going to say?
I would still love to see the show, the link. Do you have a link, Bill?
Yeah, we can get it. I'll get it. I'll try and do it tomorrow. I'll put it up. But let me tell you, don't scroll because you'll miss it. If that show comes up and you try and find it, you won't find it. It's that quick. It's unbelievable. I'll try and have my guy edit it down, you know.
There you go.
It's shorter than a short reel.
Slow motion.
Well, before we leave the HGTV conversation, just curious for you guys, the one pet peeve I have, the thing that drives me the craziest and drives my wife the craziest because I complain about it the most, is that when the flipper floppers walk into the bathroom when they're getting ready for the remodel and they look it real quick and they go, $4,000 for this, for all glass, heavy shower door enclosure, bathroom remodel, $4,000 or $5,000. Those numbers are always so inaccurate to me, but you guys are the experts. I mean, do you watch that show and say, I don't know if you guys even watch any of these shows, but do you watch these shows and lose your mind over it, or are they somewhat accurate when you see it?
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Makes me nuts. Makes me absolutely nuts.
You know, the one that really is frosting me now is Angie's List has turned into Angie's, and they're running ads all the time on Facebook. What does a typical bathroom cost to remodel? See if your contractor's in the ballpark, you know, something like that. And they don't take in any of the other consideration of what else has to be done. You know, they're on the fourth floor. You got to bring in dumpsters. You can only work certain hours. I mean, there's so many variables there. And then the people you quote it, and people say, "Oh no, you're way too high. I just saw it on Facebook. It's supposed to be in this range." And then you get the Yahoos on Facebook Marketplace that are selling shower doors for $1. I don't know if you've seen that in your area. Beautiful frameless doors, $1. So I called a guy on and I asked him how I could order 50 of them, and he just hung up on me.
Send a truckload.
Yes, send a truckload for a dollar. I'd be happy to do it. Put you out of business.
Have you seen the one ad from the major supplier of jacuzzi tubs doing a remodel your bathroom in one day?
No
That's been
kidding.
TV lately, you know.
No, don't get it
It's
here.
now that we're talking about it, they're all going to pop up on our Facebook.
Yeah, they're listening to us. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Jim all tomorrow.
You're talking about that. Now, I just had a discussion today that remember that one guy had some information on his iPhone and the government wanted him to give up his password and he refused and they sued Apple to hack into the guy's iPhone to get it. And Apple said, no, we can't do it. So I understand the government now has software. You could have your phone off. And they can ex still extract the information on it. That's
Yeah, you
crazy.
have to get yeah, you have to get like the there's like RF bags you can put in.
Yes, you're right. What do they call them? McGladrey bag or
Yeah, I think so.
yes.
Something like that. But yeah, essentially that's the only way
It's the only way.
to hide.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure that they've been able to do it for a long time. Now they're just kind of starting to let you know that they can do it now, but you know, the technology is always what? How many years ahead of what we're being told, you know? I mean, it's not
Sure.
like, you know, oh yeah, the government just discovered how to do this. And the next day they go on the news. Hey, just letting y'all know that like this is what the technology is today. You know, it's like, if they're saying they can do it today, they were doing it 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, anyhow. Yeah. A
Right?
fa Faraday bag. That's what it's
Yeah,
called.
Faraday. Yeah, a Faraday cage.
Protect your electronics from an EMP.
Yeah, because if there's
Yeah.
an EMP, you're going to want to make sure you still got your phone,
Right.
right?
It's
It's not
not
like they can't open a Faraday bag, though. I mean, if they're
right.
going to confiscate your phone, I mean, all they have to do is unzip the bag and take it.
Yeah.
So that's still not a protection. It's crazy.
Well, at least maybe they'd have to get like a search warrant for that, you know.
Yeah, they did for this other guy's phone. He just refused to open it. And
For him.
they tried to have Apple hack in and they refused, you know, for the privacy of their customers. Well, somehow they must have told the government how they can do it because they can hack it now. Anyhow, Max, why don't you tell us about the new location for the home sh for the glass show this year for glass build?
Oh yeah. No, it's Dallas this year, which is going to be a great show. You know, unbelievable floor loaded this year. You know, biggest floor we've probably ever had, which is pretty exciting. You know, and still actually filling up. But it's Dallas this year, and then next year Orlando coming to the home state of you, Bill, and Elevin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it'll be a nice time in Orlando. But Dallas, then Orlando, and then we'll see where after that. But real excited for the show this year. It's going to be a Going to be a good event. We've got some things up our sleeve. Hopefully we can get Mr. Phillips there to do some things with us and get all of y'all in there and a little reunion again like you guys have done before. It'll be a good time in the Lone Star State.
What's the dates this year?
It is September 30th to October 2nd, so no
Oh.
Halloween, thankfully.
Wow.
So no screw ups there on the dates. So dates are good. Weather shouldn't be too oppressive, though it is Texas. It'll probably still be kind of warm, but it should be a good show. Looking forward to it. I'm headed down to Dallas actually next week for a couple things, and hopefully we'll swing by the convention center and see what's going on. But I think we're going to have a really, really strong show. So hopefully everyone on here will be there.
Looking
Well, I
forward.
will be there. Right, Rob? Rob's in Texas.
Awesome. What part of Texas, Rob? What part of Texas?
Austin, Texas.
Austin. Great. Yeah. Are you going to come to the Texas Glass Conference in Austin? It's in May. You got to come to that. You'll be at that one? All right. You know, May 16th and 17th. That's a good show with the TGA does. And it's in Austin. So it's worth it's not a far drive for you.
I'll drive right down the road and see y'all.
Beautiful. Love
walk
it.
Over.
A link in the chat for those Faraday bags. I highly suggest y'all look into them or something like it to block your phones, not only from the foreign invasions. You see, hey, excuse me, sir. But your people walking by you aren't able to get your RFID chip from your phone and actually hack into your credit cards if you don't have these blockers. The technology is getting smarter and smarter. It's not just what you can put your card into at the gas station. Now these scanners are getting a little more, because our awesome phones and devices allow us to tap to pay. They also allow us to tap to get hacked. So these little blockers that you can get that wrap around your phone or your bag, or just have all your devices inside, just naturally have a blocking thing so they can't do that when they wipe by you, in case you have no security on your phone and everything's wide open, like some people's things are. So highly recommend you get something like that.
What is a Faraday bag, or how do you spell it?
Faraday. There's many options like it you'll find online for your phone case, and all of them are comparable. Just make sure it's 5-star reviews or above. I mean, four and a half or above, and that there's at least 50 plus reviews, because I can pay for 30 of them in a second. So just look for authentic ones on Amazon and you'll be good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rob put in a link there in the chat if you want to check that out. I have a couple of those. They're awesome. Good to have, you know.
Good to know, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So have we ever done a show in Dallas before? Probably, huh? It's probably been a long time.
Yeah, it's been many, many years. I believe in the early 2000s, when Glassfield was moving around, and we had done shows in Houston and Phoenix and Miami, San Diego. We did it. I believe we did one in Dallas, but it's been a long, long time.
We had one in San Antonio. I know that.
Yeah. So we used to move it around quite a bit before we settled into that Atlanta Vegas rotation. Now that rotation, I think, is completely gone, and we'll start bebopping around a little bit more. The challenge is that the show's gotten so big and the equipment so heavy. There's only so many convention centers in the U.S. that can take us, and then some of the convention centers that could take us, like New York, Philly, Chicago, we are a little hesitant to go to because the cost for everybody would be insane. So we try to keep that all in mind as well.
Need to go back to New Orleans. That was great.
Yeah, that's one of the ones on the East Coast that we're looking at for sure. Yep.
Yeah, I went to that one when they had it.
Are any of them union shops? Max, I know Orlando would not be, but how about Dallas?
Vegas is union. Vegas is union. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but is Dallas or Orlando union?
I don't believe so. I do not believe so.
Yeah.
That's good, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. No, that's an opinion.
That's an opinion. Just putting it out there.
I'm just saying. Not judging. I'm just saying.
Did I ever tell you a story from Al Askew from Coral Industries? This is a great story. He was in Chicago doing a show. They were putting the booth up. And the union guys put the booth up, and Al went over because one of his light bulbs on his booth was out. So he went to change the bulb, and the union guy goes, oh, you can't do that. He says, What do you mean? What do you mean you can't do that? He says, I'm changing the bulb. No, need the electrician for that. It's in your contract. He says, well, how much is it going to cost? And I think it was like $300, but they use it as $300 per hour. So, I mean, he was not happy, but the guy comes over, goes over, changes the bulb, says, okay, you're all set. And Al says, where are you going? This is why I changed your bulb. He says, yeah, but you said you're charging me an hour. You're going to sit here in case that bulb burns out in the 58th minute. I'm not paying you twice. The guy goes, no, you can't do that. He says, no, you're the one told me you charged me per hour. It's an hour minimum. You're sitting. So they ended up negotiating at $125. That, and if you've never met Al, you'll understand the story. He was great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Good guy. Yeah.
Yeah, some of those union things take your head off. Oh, you want carpet too? You want an extra outlet?
Yes, no. Some cities are tougher, and Chicago is, you know, Chicago's there the toughest. I mean, we did a show in October of 2001, and obviously nobody was going to a show because it was 3 weeks after 9/11. The show was completely empty, and the union guys just drilled us the entire time, and it was like we were already losing a ton because no one came to the show, no one. And I mean, they just hammered us at every turn, the light bulb thing, you name it. We had it. It was rough, but that's a city. But the best is 1 year in Vegas, we did a show and we needed labor, and you have to get the union labor. And they sent us over a guy who had one arm, and then the other, he had a hook, you know, on his, he didn't have a second hand. He had a hook. And I'm like,
I used to work with that guy. Yeah.
It was unbelievable. He's like, sorry, he's got a hook.
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
Yep. You know, that's who was on the bench.
I noticed that the same cities that have like a strong mafia are also union. I don't think there's any connection, but you know, Vegas, Chicago, Atlantic City,
You're putting it out there. Yeah.
It used to be definitely a connection.
Probably not anymore. It's coincidental.
Maybe you shouldn't say too much more, Chris. We'd like to see you next week.
Oh, man. You should see what I was going to say. I probably yeah.
Well, you know me. I can ask a question if we have the time.
Oh, we have time.
Mike was bugging me to put this up on the Facebook group, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to get responses that say walk away or, use half inch. You'll be fine. We've got a new home construction. They want a sheet of glass, one piece, 119 inches across, 8 foot tall, attached on just the floor and one wall, minimal attachment. And we're like, no, we're not going to do it. You need some sort of support. And they said, well, okay, well, what do you suggest? And I was talking to my office manager about it. I'm like, you know, is this even worth my time? What's their budget? And he goes, I think these people have a few money. And I'm like, okay, well, I can come up with an FU solution then if that's the case. I'll work hard on that one. I started looking at, I'm like, well, let's get creative. I started looking at some of the spider fittings, and you know how they do like a 90 degree laminated piece of glass and then the spider fitting off of that to create, you know, commercially outside the buildings and stuff. Have any of you guys worked with spider fittings before or any other, you know, crazy sort of expensive ideas we could throw out here for people who want to give us glass. Any money? What's that?
It's a 3/4 inch glass.
3/4 inch glass.
Yeah. And even that, if I would still do like a little like 90 degree return. Just to give it a little more support, but it's pretty long, 119 by 96.
Right. Yeah, I was even thinking if there were posts side to side and nothing on the top, I might even worry about flex in the middle alone.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. I was thinking when we were talking to Greg with 310 tempering that, you know, a glass header, you know, that would be laminated and then affixed to the top of a big panel.
That's interesting.
And yeah. Then span that if you can get it wall-to-wall situation, maybe. Mm-hmm. I've thought about the spider fitting idea. I have one right now that it's not real wide, but they want it suspended in the middle of the room without any walls. So...
Sure, yeah. They do. Yeah, of course.
You know, and I'm going to have two returns that are real small to offer support, but that's kind of like that spider fitting idea where you have a T coming into it, which I've discussed with him because we could have two pieces of glass have a T in the middle with spider fittings. So, but I haven't drawn that up yet. They're working on the bathroom now.
Shannon, although they say minimal, if you get a really creative bracket that's artistically and aesthetically pleasing,
right,
to go to the ceiling and support it up into the ceiling on that edge, they may accept it if it's just something that's unusual, not your standard bracket or not a clip-on bracket, but something really contemporary, if it's a contemporary house.
Somewhat, yeah. They're calling it modern something, but I'm like, okay, as long as modern is a word in there, not traditional.
The
title.
So. The only problem with going to the ceiling with something supportive, if it's over a certain size, I mean, that support really doesn't do much. It still gives a deflection unless you go to the wall on a 90 return. What I found.
I agree with that. I agree. But if you give them something clever, you can almost come off the wall with a V-shaped bracket that comes off and goes out, and then a neat plate, and then you mount the plate up to the ceiling. So it gives it that stability, but make it really decorative, almost like it's a focal point, like you've intended to do it.
That's kind of what I was thinking with the spider fitting, too, because it's cool looking.
Yeah, yeah.
How big is a return opening to the wall? Like how long?
On the other side, it's a walk-through shower or a walk-in shower. So where the glass comes out, there you walk around it. I think it's about 4 feet from where they want the panel to end to the other wall. And they want it 8 feet tall. The ceilings are 13 feet. So anything I do up above there, I mean, we're spanning 5 feet of air to get to the ceiling too.
Christina says in the chat, a VPK support bar, you could make it a statement and go from floor to ceiling, which is also kind of clever.
What's VPK?
It's a big support bar. It's about an inch and a half diameter or so.
It's like a stripper pole,
right?
Don't go
that high to the ceiling, though. You got 5
I wouldn't know.
Feet to span.
I mean, I hear.
Wait. I'll grab a photo real fast and some specs.
But it's
an option.
Normally can only go up a couple feet to the ceiling. You got 5 feet to span.
I just put one in the chat.
Yeah, I've seen those. Know, we were thinking something like that too.
Your husband Mike would probably make something similar since he's a metal guy. You know, he's handy.
He doesn't make pretty metal. He makes useful metal. But we do have a metal fab guy that we work with on projects where we need pretty metal.
I would think you could make something like that VPK, but longer. And if you come up with it, I want to know about it, because that would solve problems for everybody, and that'd be a product to sell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a question about this. So if the glass was laminated, let's say it was 9/16 laminated, maybe even tempered laminated, would it really matter, the deflection? Because, I mean, if it breaks... it really can't hurt anybody.
I don't know what the engineering is for, running into it, you know, and having it take the weight of your body. I mean, when you're...
Just falling off the wall? Or coming...
Well,
the whole thing.
Well, you know, you take a running dive at it. Uh-huh. No, you can fall... Fall over, you slip and...
I mean, the danger would be of the glass completely coming off the wall and falling on somebody. Is that the thought? Because if it's laminated, if it's tempered laminated, even if it breaks, it's not going anywhere.
Right. But to go to tempered laminated, that size, you're talking very thick two pieces of glass to laminate.
Yes.
So, you know, you're not doing that with eighth over eighth.
Quarter over quarter.
You're probably talking three-eighths over three-eighths, which is going to be insane.
Yeah.
Always do a fixed transom on the return.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. I was wondering, is there a way you could use cabling? I've thought about that before, where you're pulling from two different directions, kind of like that V-shaped Bill was talking about, but instead of being a support, it's more of a one's pulling against each other, you know?
You have to have a
Yeah.
map cable to
And you'd have to cable into roof rafters somehow and something that's small so it doesn't
It'd be
strike
cool
your
looking
eye.
though.
Shannon, why don't if the guy's got that kind of money, he's probably got an architect designing this thing. Why don't you have the architect design something?
Yeah. It's more, yeah, more like an engineer, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what you guys get from architects, but I get like, you know, here's, they want minimal hardware, you know, go install it. I don't get very good specs from architects most of the time. I mean, unless it is like railing and things like that. When it comes to showers, it seems like they just say, you know, I don't
There's
know,
nothing in the
add it.
plans on showers. It's just a no details, period. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually it's
So,
just like a floor plan. There's not even an elevation.
No, it was funny. We had one set of plans sent to us, and they had railing in there as well. And basically, all they did was just pull up a bunch of specs from CRL and just copy and paste like 3 pages of, you know, different types of railing, and then just that was part of the plans, and you know, no other details other than that.
Oh, there you go. Well, we did it. Look at that. I came here with nothing to talk about, and we talked for an hour.
It's like a Seinfeld episode. Show
It's like
about
a
nothing.
Seinfeld episode. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks everybody for showing up. Good to see you. All here. Max, been a long time. Good to see you. Thanks for showing up, and I'll see you guys next week.